Our sermon today is based on a reading from Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent out the raven, and it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent out the dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its foot, and it returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took it and brought it into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and it did not return to him anymore. God, thank you for anointing us and blessing us by pouring your love upon us. So what do you like on your pizza? I need to know, just in case we ever have a church-wide pizza supper, which might not be a bad idea. That would be a good way to celebrate eating our way through the Bible. So do you like pepperoni, mushrooms, ham, pineapple? Oh, that debate rages on whether or not pineapple belongs on pizza. How about olives? I find people usually fall into one of three categories when it comes to olives. They like black olives, but they hate green olives. They love green olives, but they hate black olives, and they don't care for either. But did you know there's really no difference between green olives and black olives? They both grow on the same tree. They get their colors from the level of maturity they have reached when it's time to harvest them. Green and yellow olives occur at the beginning of the ripening cycle, and purple and black olives occur at the end of the cycle. It's just a matter of timing. But you probably wouldn't want to eat an olive fresh off the tree. If they aren't cured and fermented, a bitter compound in them makes the tiny fruits unpalatable. And yes, olives are fruits. We had this discussion at the high school trivia night about grapes, and they are called drupes. By the way, our team finished fourth. So they're classified as drupes because they have a stone pit or fruit of stone or pit inside them. Mangoes, apricots, plums, and cherries are also classified as drupes, just as olives are. Olive trees can live for hundreds of years, and nearly 90% of olives produced are used for olive oil. One good tree can produce 15 gallons of oil a year. And that's probably more than you ever wanted to know about olives. But what do the scriptures have to say about olives? Olives were a very common staple in the diet of the ancient Israelites, and I suppose they're still popular over there today. When the Bible talks about oil, it's generally talking about olive oil. There are many lovely verses in the Bible citing and celebrating the oil of anointing. Whenever you hear of someone being anointed, being set aside for service, it's probably olive oil that is being used. Kings and priests were anointed in solemn ceremonies by pouring olive oil over their heads, thus establishing them in their offices. It sounds messy, but it was the way they did things back then. Not only people were anointed, Jacob anointed his pillar of a pillow with oil. Altars were anointed with oil. Besides being used for food and flavoring and blessing, olive oil was used to light the lamps in the tabernacle, as we heard in the scripture from Exodus. The tabernacle, of course, was the place that symbolized the presence of God among the people, and whatever was in it had to be anointed because it was holy. Do you remember the story of the five foolish and the five wise maidens? They filled their lamps with olive oil as they awaited the arrival of the bridegroom. At least the wise ones did. This parable told by Jesus is often taken to be an admonishment to us to keep our lamps ready as we await the return of the Savior. Olive oil was used medicinally as well. Did you ever read the story of the Good Samaritan and wonder why the man who rescued the robbery victim poured oil into his wounds? Olive oil was used as an astringent and a sanitizer and a softener for open wounds. Olive oil was also used in healing rituals. James 5:14 says, "Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." With all the blessings and sustenance inherent in olives, it really is no surprise that when the dove came back to Noah in the ark the second time, she held an olive branch in her beak. We know the olive branch as a symbol of peace, so this was a wonderful sign for Noah and his family. It was God's way of letting them know the waters were receding, plants were growing, and soon they would be able to exit the ark. For 40 days and 40 nights, chaos and disruption had overwhelmed the earth and the ark's inhabitants as the rains fell. Once they stopped, it was several more weeks before the water receded and the land was dry enough for people to walk on again. The dove brought back a symbol of peace and reconciliation and prosperity, a sign that the turbulence and certain uncertainty would not last forever. The dove knew just what to bring back to give Noah hope. Green things were growing, good things were growing. Somewhere out there, they would find an olive tree or two or hundreds, and they could again feast on the fruit and enjoy the oil of blessing. They could be an embodiment of the words of Psalm 52:8-9. "I am like a green olive in the tree, to olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because what you have done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good." Indeed, Noah and his family had much to be grateful for as they left the ark and started a new chapter in humanity's story. The dove had plucked the leaf from the righteous branch that grows from the tree of life to show God's goodness and mercy. The dove itself was a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that moved over the deep at the beginning of creation, the Spirit of God that brings calm even in the midst of the storm, the Spirit of God that assures us that even when the waters are deep and dark and cold, even when your ship is being tossed about and you have no idea where you're going to wind up, teetering on top of some faraway mountain or mired down in the mud, the Spirit of God tells us that there is hope in our end. Olives were a perpetual promise to God's people. The first olive branch assured Noah that there would never again be a flood of such magnitude over all the earth. When the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land, God laid down the consequences of disobedience and forsaking God. "You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory," God said, "but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off." But obedience and right worship would bring blessings. Everyone sitting in safety under their own olive tree, enjoying its never-ending bounty. Like the miraculous jar of oil with which Elijah blessed the widow who took care of him during a severe drought and famine. That jar never stopped pouring out oil until the drought was over. A future blessing for all God's people was articulated in Joel 2:24, which says, "The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil." God promises to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Olives, obviously, were not the forbidden fruit found in the Garden of Eden. As a symbol of God's protection rather than rejection, they pointed to a time of perpetual peace and prosperity after a long and stormy ordeal, a time we can all look forward to, when the oil of blessing will be poured abundantly on our heads. The storms of life will not always blow so strongly. The floods will flee, and there will be a piece of peace in our world. The dove brought Noah one leaf to offer him relief at just the right time. God will do it again, sending a tsunami of love and light into our lives just when we need it most. God will pour upon us the anointing oil of gladness forever. Perhaps the story of Noah and the ark isn't true, but it holds a truth. There will be storms, there will be darkness, there will be chaos, but those calamities will end and calm will rise again. And God will send a rainbow to us as a sign of God's love and protection. God will send a blessing that will ever and always be poured upon us, anointing us and blessing us forever. Can you imagine how wonderful it's going to be to stand under that serene shower in the house of God for all eternity, healed and revived by the oil of gladness? We're going to be singing it forever. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the promises we find in the picture of the olive tree. Let the lamp of your love always burn within us. May it shine pure and bright for all to see. Let your peace always be within our reach. Amen.